The extent to which Omicron may or may not have escaped immunity generated by past variants of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. A large study on this from South Africa has been released as a yet-to-be-peer-reviewed preprint. The researchers looked at immune escape as reflected by reinfection rates in people who've been infected with the COVID-19 virus in the past year or so. The lead author was Professor Juliet Pulliam, who's director of the South African Centre for Epidemiology, Modelling and Analysis at Stellenbosch University in the Western Cape. Welcome to the Health Report, Professor Pulliam.
Hello, nice to be here.
What's the thought to be the normal protection from a prior COVID infection?
About 85% protection. So there was a study that was conducted in healthcare workers in the UK early in the pandemic that found that they had about an 85% reduced risk of reinfection if they had been previously exposed.
So it's pretty similar to, say, the Pfizer or Moderna immunizations.
Well, the Pfizer and Moderna immunizations are mostly talked about in terms of their protective effect against severe illness, so hospitalization and death. Their protection against infection is actually a little bit lower than natural immunity.
So tell us what you did in this study.
So in this study, we have been monitoring the reinfection risk through time since about January. So we became interested in this during our second wave here in South Africa, which was caused by the Beta variant. And there were laboratory studies that indicated that there may be some immune escape based on antibody neutralization data. And so we decided to see whether we could see evidence of that at the population level. We did not find any evidence of it in the beta or the delta wave. However, in recent weeks, we have started to notice this increasing trend in reinfections. And so we're looking really just at the population level for a signal, not detailed quantitative estimates of what level of immune escape might actually be occurring.
But you did come up with an increased risk that you found that at least to the end of November, beginning of December, that it's about 2.4 times the risk of reinfection compared to previous variants.
So it's actually, that's the risk relative to primary infection relative to previous waves, which is a very complicated calculation and hard to wrap your head around. But it basically means that that the reinfection risk is higher and it's higher relative to its previous relationship to the primary infection rate.
Now, one of the things I find interesting in your study, which is something you just referred to a moment ago, is that you didn't find much of an increased risk of reinfection with the beta and delta compared to the what they call the ancestral virus or the Wuhan virus. Yet, the laboratory evidence suggested that, for example, with the beta variant, the so-called South African variant, there was vaccine resistance. So does that mean that you can't really go on the laboratory studies? You've got to look at populations to see what really happens with what's called immune escape, as to whether or not the virus is resistant to infection, to antibodies.
I do think it does highlight that the laboratory data are not giving us the full picture. So those data look specifically at antibody neutralization, basically how well the antibodies bind to the virus and keep it from replicating. And there's a lot more to the immune system than that. I'm not an immunologist, and I certainly don't understand all of the things that go on with the immune system, but I think we really need better correlates of protection and a better understanding of how to measure in vitro, in the laboratory, what's actually going to happen in a person.
Because that's what we're all waiting for, in some senses, is that they're saying, well, we're going to be doing these studies of convalescent sera for people who've recovered from COVID-19 and tested against Omicron. Mm-hmm. From your experience, that might not tell you very much. And in the real world, for the first time since the pandemic started, you are actually finding significant reinfection rates.
That's right. I think they certainly are working on those neutralization assays. But my understanding is that they're also working on T-cell assays, which is another aspect of the immune system that maybe wasn't looked at as well for the previous variants. But I think there are a broader range of laboratory studies that are being undertaken this time around.
And were there any vaccinated people in your sample? Because it was about 2.7 million people that were in your sample going back to 2020.
Sure. So there certainly were vaccinated people in the sample. Most of our data that we were looking at for over the course of the year. So most of those, most of that time period, we had very low vaccination rates, but more recently we do have higher vaccination rates. And unfortunately, we can't at the individual level link the data so that we know which individuals are vaccinated. So we really can't look at vaccine efficacy at all, or even how it's interacting with the reinfection risk at this time.
So there are anecdotes around the world of people getting infected who have been either double vaccinated or even triple vaccinated and still getting mm-hmm. the virus. Is there any way of extrapolating what you've found to how the vaccine might behave?
I don't really think so. But like I said, I'm not an immunologist, so I'm not really the best person to ask about that.
How does this play out in epidemic modelling? Because some people are saying, well, maybe this virus isn't that contagious, but it's this escape that counts. In other words, the South African population and maybe other populations looks vulnerable to the virus because it's escaped immunity. Therefore, there's lots of people that can infect, and that's the important variable. Now, you're a modeller. What does it tell you about the modelling of the growth of Omicron?
Absolutely. That's what we're working on now. So I think that it doesn't tell us anything very definitive, but it allows us to sort of map out what the plausible range of immune escape versus increased transmissibility that might be occurring. And what we're finding so far is that it looks like probably it is a little bit more transmissible than Delta, and it does have some amount of immune escape, but we can't quite quantify those things. So unfortunately, I was really hopeful that we might be seeing a sign that it was actually less transmissible than Delta, but I'm no longer convinced of that. And I think the other thing to really keep in mind is that South Africa is very different from many populations in the world, particularly Australia, because we've had these three really large COVID waves and we have a relatively low vaccination rate compared to many other countries. So we don't really know how it's going to play out. It's possible that you know, we were able to detect a signal because we have such high levels of previous infection, and maybe that signal won't be as detectable elsewhere. It's possible that that the things that we learn about severity over the next couple of weeks in South Africa will not be applicable elsewhere because of this difference in the population profiles.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on it. Thank you very much for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you.
Professor Juliet Pulliam is Director of the South African Centre for Epidemiology, Modelling and Analysis at Stellenbosch University in the Western Cape. And this is RN's Health Report.